Let's read it. So verse 18, John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to revisit that passage in Luke. Don't turn to it, because the words are going to come up on the screen with bits missing. And you're going to tell me which bits are missing. Okay. So John's disciples told him about all these things. Well done. Great. Fantastic. All these things. So all these things. What things? Who can remember what things? I suppose you had to be here last week. Let me tell you. All these things. So Jesus has healed a centurion's servant. Remember that? From a distance. With a word. He's on death's door, this guy. And Jesus just says the word and he's made well. And then last week we saw Jesus raises a widow's son from death. He's dead. And Jesus speaks to the young man. "Young man, I say to you, rise." And the dead man rises and begins to talk. These things. Those things. That's what they go and tell John's disciples. Okay. Next. Calling two of them, he sent them to ask, "Are you the one who is to, or should we expect someone else?" So what's the first? There's two words there, just to help you. And the dashes do correspond to the letters, I have to say. So anyone know that first one? They sent them to. You'll see this in Luke's gospel often. Jesus refers to
the Lord.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, to the Lord. The answers aren't coming up, but it is the Lord. "Are you the one who is to come?" Yes, come. "Or should we expect someone else?" So it's really important there to notice that they're expecting someone. These are people who are expectant. They're expecting the one. And the one is the Messiah, the Christ, God's chosen King. That's who they're expecting. He's been promised for such a long time. He's been promised over centuries. Through the prophets, God had told people what to expect when the King comes. He's coming. These are things that to expect. And this was the question is, why does John send messages? Why doesn't John go to the Lord himself? Why does he send messengers? Does anyone know the answer to that? Jeff? He's in prison. He's in prison. So Luke 3, we saw it last year when we were in Luke 3. John the Baptist gets into trouble for sharing the good news of Jesus, for proclaiming the King. Gets him into trouble and for standing up for right against wrong. Lands him in Herod's dungeon, doesn't it? So he rebuked Herod for taking another man's wife, his brother's wife, it happened to be. And it ends John, he's in the slammer in Herod's dungeon. That's where he is. He's in a terrible place. So that's why he can't go himself. Okay, so off they go. And next one. When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John sent us to you to ask, 'Are you who is to come? Or should we?'" Okay. So the first one. So when John, when men came to Jesus, they said, "John's." Who thinks it's John the Baptist? No? One or two? Three or four? It's John the Baptist. It's John the Baptist. Yeah. It's John the Baptist. That's important. It's John the Baptist asking this question. "Sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come? Or should we?'" Next one. Oh, we've got a little bit missing. So go back. Thanks, Graham. "Should we expect someone else?" Should we expect someone else? Do you find that a bit of a surprise? It's John the Baptist asking this question. John the Baptist is having doubts about Jesus. He's having doubts. Confused. He's perplexed. Thinks something's missing in Jesus. So John, remember, he's the one who's prepared the way for Jesus. He's the one who's been saying the Messiah's coming, he's about to come, and he's going to baptize those who repent and believe with the Holy Spirit. He's going to bring God's life to people. He's going to bring God's judgment as well. He's going to bring God's fire on the wicked. He's going to cut down every tree that doesn't produce good fruit. He's going to throw it in the fire. He's going to burn it with chaff, with unquenchable fire. That's what John's been preaching. And we know from the other Gospels that he pointed at Jesus and he said, that's him. That's the Christ. That's the King. The coming one who's going to save and judge. But that's him, Jesus. The Lamb of God. He's the Messiah. And he seemed 100% certain back then. But now he's not so sure. We think, well, how come? Why isn't he so sure anymore? I think the answer lies in the fact that when John was preaching that the Messiah is about to come, he preached that the Messiah is coming to save his people and also to judge his enemies. And John expected to see both those things happening at the same time, saving and judgment. And so he hears of a centurion servant being healed, and he thinks, that's great, amazing. And he hears of a widow's son being raised from the dead, and he thinks, that's great. But where's the fire? Where's the judgment? Where's God's wrath against the wicked? Where's the justice? He doesn't hear of Jesus doing that kind of thing. And he's confused about that. And we need to remember John's in prison, so that probably didn't help, did it? Not an easy place to be, a hard place to be. He would have been struggling in many ways. That man, Andrew Brunson, whose picture we showed earlier, who was in prison in Turkey, he's just written a book, and he's doing this speaking tour of the UK at the minute. And he's very honest in that book about he expected to be persecuted for sharing Jesus in Turkey, but what he didn't expect was to feel abandoned by God. And he went through severe doubts and depression in prison because it was so hard. He wondered, you know, why has God allowed this to happen? Prison can be a very hard place. And so it is with John. He must be thinking, well, I've been a faithful servant. I've prepared the way for the Lord. But the Lord hasn't lifted a finger. He's got all this power. He hasn't lifted a finger to get me out of prison. Is this what the king does when his servants are in trouble? And why hasn't he zapped wicked, evil King Herod? Why is he allowing Herod to put people like me in prison? And he just walks around and commits adultery and Jesus hasn't done anything about it. Why hasn't he, if he's the coming one? And the Romans are still trampling God's people. They're still committing terrible crimes against us. Why hasn't he done something about that, if he's the coming one? Where's the justice? So John thinks something's missing in Jesus' ministry, if he's the coming one. And that's not what we're expecting in John the Baptist, is it? He's been such a faithful servant. And it is a surprise. But it's a wonderful gift to us on two fronts. First of all, this is evidence, this verse, that the Bible is really true. That this is accurate history that Luke is recording. Fact, not fiction. See, if you were wanting to invent a religion that was going to be accepted by the public, was going to be popular, it wouldn't be Christianity. That's something that's often put, you know, charged against it. They're just inventing something to get this religion up and running. Well, if you were inventing a religion to be popular, then it's not Christianity. John the Baptist, remember, he was the chief witness to Jesus' identity as the Messiah. And here he is now doubting. If you were inventing a story, you wouldn't have your star witness doubting. That wouldn't give him much credibility in the eyes of the public. But here he is, doubting. There's this ring of authenticity about it. Now, our circumstances, you know, might be a bit different to John, but I think this helps as well. So the Bible's not written by PR consultants. It's written by men who are wanting to tell the truth. They're not spinning a tale. They're telling the truth. And they're inspired by God. The God who knew that every follower of Jesus would experience doubts at some time or other. And if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, you'll have had moments like this. And God knows that. And that's why we have this. Even John the Baptist had doubts. Even John the Baptist. Even he had struggles. And yes, we're not in prison, our circumstances aren't the same as John's, but we have perplexities and confusion about Jesus sometimes, questions, doubts. Why do bad people get away scot-free? Why does Jesus allow wicked tyrants to ruin the lives of millions if he's the king with all authority? Why does Jesus allow his people to be blown up in Nigeria, tortured in North Korea? Why does he allow that if he's the one who was to come, if he's the promised one? Why does he sit back and do nothing while there's so much evil in the world? If he is the king of God's eternal kingdom, why doesn't he use his great power just to deal with all the wrong? Is he the king? Or should we expect someone else? Now, when our expectations aren't met, then like John, we need to hear Jesus' response. Because we might doubt as well. And when we do, we need to hear Jesus' response. So let's get Jesus' response. At that very time, so the messengers have gone, are you the one? Or is there someone else coming? Jesus, at that time, cured many who had diseases, illnesses and evil spirits, and he gave to many who were... Well done. He gave sight to many who were blind. Amazing, isn't it? Many. What a miracle that is. And not just to one person. Many. See that? Thanks, Graham. You need your binoculars on for this one. So he replied to the messengers, go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cleansed. The deaf hear. Dead are raised. Good news is proclaimed to the poor. We'll come to that in a moment. It's very important. Good news is proclaimed to the poor. And finally he says, something is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Blessed. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. So Jesus says, go back and tell him what you're seeing. All these things that are happening. All these things that the prophet said would be happening when the king comes are happening. They're being fulfilled before your very eyes. Go and tell John that. So all these things are a description of what to expect when the Messiah arrives. Blind seeing, deaf hearing, lame walking, and Jesus is doing all that Isaiah 35 stuff. All that was Isaiah 35 and Isaiah 61. And I'm doing that as well. I'm doing Isaiah 61. Those verses that we had at the start. Good news is being preached to the poor. It's happening, John, just as promised. And interestingly, Isaiah 61, which people would in Israel would have known very well, just as when he quotes it back in the synagogue in chapter 4, when he quotes it here to John's messengers, Jesus stops halfway through the quote. Doesn't complete the quote from Isaiah. And he does that deliberately for a very important reason. To remind John, there is a timing in God's work. And he leaves something out, because it's not time for that aspect of the work yet. Can anyone remember what it was? The day of vengeance. The day of vengeance. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. So the Messiah is going to come and bring the day of the Lord's favor, the year of the Lord's favor, and he's going to bring the day of vengeance. But Jesus leaves off the day of vengeance. And he's sending a very important message to John and to us. He's saying, it's not time for me to announce the day of vengeance yet. It's not the time for God's fire and judgment on the wicked yet. It's not the time for his wrath yet. See, that's what John was expecting, the Messiah to come to save and to judge. Jesus explains, let's look at the scriptures, John. First of all, the Messiah's got to come and save. That's what he's come. So I'm not coming with God's fire and judgment yet. First, I'm coming with salvation and preaching the good news of that salvation, the good news of God's favor, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. Fire of judgment's coming, but the preaching of the gospel must come first. Got to be that way, right? Hasn't it? It's got to be that way round. Who could be saved if it wasn't? No one could be saved if they came at the same time. Everyone would be blitzed because we've all failed and fallen and rebelled. So aren't you glad this morning that Jesus came first of all to bring salvation before he comes to bring judgment? I think it's very, very good news. Day of God's vengeance is going to arrive. Justice, that day of justice is coming. All wickedness and evil will be dealt with forever. But now that day's on hold, and it's on hold because of God's love and compassion and patience with poor people, for poor people. He's holding back so poor people can hear the good news preached to them and respond. Who are the poor people who Jesus preaches the good news to? Well, it's not the economically disadvantaged. That's not who he's talking to here. That's what he's talking about. Spiritually poor people is the poor that he's referring to here. Not those without money and stuff, but those without the resources we need to get to heaven. Relationship with God, life with God. We don't have those resources. We don't have what we need to get right with God. We have what we need to go to hell, human beings. We have sin, we have rebellion. We're spiritually bankrupt. The debt of our sin, the debt of our rebellion is so great, we just can't pay that off. And so the poverty that Jesus speaks about is the worst kind of poverty, which makes the good news that he preaches the best kind of good news. Good news to people who are poor. What is the good news that Jesus is proclaiming? Well, it's all here in Luke's gospel. It's himself. He's the good news. He's the Son of God. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's come to save people. And he's come to do that by paying the price. Paying the price that's needed to make it possible for us to be right with God and to be at home with him in his perfect forever world that's coming. Jesus, the Messiah, has come to save poor sinners like you and me. And he's come to do that by taking the punishment we deserve so that we can have the forgiveness and the eternal life that we don't deserve. And that's the good news that Luke has been proclaiming to us in the recording of those incidents that we looked at last week and the week before, the healing of the servants and the raising of the dead boy. The message is that salvation is by grace alone, 100% gift, and it comes through faith in Jesus alone and not by works. It's a gift, this salvation. Which is good news for poor people who've got nothing to offer, isn't it? That it's 100% gift. A gift we can't earn, a gift we don't deserve. Right, July 1981. Long time ago. Year 6. Sports day was coming. I had been chosen by all the pupils in the red team in the school to be the captain that year. It was the privilege that a year 6 pupil got. Red, blues, greens, yellows. I was the captain of the red team. 2 days before sports day, teacher was having a bad day. Calling Mr. G. He was having a bad day, Mr. G. We were excited. You know what it's like, teachers end of term. Kids are excited, noisy, unruly. Teachers are stressed. It's been a long term. He told us off numerous times that day. He reached his limit. And he finally exploded. Banged his desk, stood up, face red. Right! You lot! I've been telling you all day, you haven't been listening to me. I want quiet. And the next person to speak is going to miss sports day. And they're going to be inside doing lines. You've been warned. Guess who was the next person to speak? I just turned to Tony Bibby, who was sat next to me. I said, "Hey, Bibbs, can I borrow your rubber? I've made a mistake." Baxendale! So I had to get up on my seat, go to the front, and he tore strips off me in front of everyone. What did I say? No talking, you talked. What did I say? No sports day. No sports day for you. You're in doing lines. Please, Mr. G, I'm the team captain. I've got to go to sports day. You knew the rule, didn't you? Yeah. What was the rule? No talking. Did you talk? Yeah. No sports day for you, Baxendale. You're doing lines. But sir, I'm so sorry, but I needed a rubber. I don't care. You knew the rule. Yeah, Mr. G, I knew the rule. You broke the rule. No excuses. He was right. I knew the rule. No talking. I broke the rule. I spoke. But I wasn't asking him for justice. I was asking him for grace. For mercy. For favour. Didn't give it to me. But God does. God does. This is the good news. For a crime much more serious, God shows mercy. Wants to show mercy. Favour. grace. And that's the good news of the King, King Jesus. Even though I've broken the rules, even though I've rebelled, even though by the book I'm guilty, even though I deserve God's eternal dungeon in hell, I really do. He, in his love, grace, and mercy, gives me the eternal kingdom as a gift through simple faith in the King Jesus, who bought it for me at such a cost to himself. Good news for poor people. Entrance into God's kingdom, membership of God's kingdom, is given, not bought. Oh, come on, that's good news for poor people, isn't it?
Yes.
Who have nothing to offer. It's the best news. The only thing we've got to offer, of course, is our sin. That's very humbling. That's good news of grace and mercy and favour. And that's the good news that Jesus came preaching. We need to wrap up. But by the way, just in case you were wondering, I did compete in the sports day that year in 1981. Thank you to Mrs. Leroy. She had a bit more authority in the school than Mr. G. And she intervened. And she showed me grace and favour. And I'm sure you wanted to know. The Reds won. I got to lift the trophy. Anyway, here's the point. We sometimes, and if you've been a Christian for a while, you'll have known this. We may feel like John, that the bad things that we see in the world and in our own lives, the distressing things that we have to go through, the injustices, sufferings, these should be put right now. And we feel that by delaying to right the wrongs in the world, Jesus is putting his reputation as king on the line, at risk. Well, when we have those moments, and I think God expects us to have those moments, which is why he's given us this account, we need to hear Jesus' response to John again. Go back and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, deaf hear, dead are raised, good news is being preached to poor. God's promises are being fulfilled. The expectations, I'm ticking them all off. I really am the one who is to come, Jesus says. And you shouldn't be expecting anybody else, because there is nobody else. But remember. Remember the timing. Remember the year in which you live. Remember that this is the year of the Lord's favour. That's what I've come to bring in. And that's what I've come to preach. Good news of grace. It's not the day of God's vengeance. I haven't come to bring about the wrath of God yet. But that day will come. And all the wrongs will be put right. But for now, that day is on hold. And for a very good reason. So that people can hear the good news. And receive the gift of salvation from the Saviour. Gift of forgiveness. Life with him. And be right with him and ready for when he comes back. There's a window of grace. It's good news, isn't it? That's the day in which we live, day of salvation. There is an open door into God's kingdom at the minute through Jesus. That's very, very good news. So, if you haven't yet put your trust in Jesus, if you haven't come, you need to do that. That's the message here. He's not going to hold back forever. That day is coming. So flee to him, come to him, trust him before it's too late. Get in while you can. And for those of us who have done that, then the message for us is get the good news out while you can. We've got an amazing opportunity. It's a great day to be alive, the day of salvation, the day for preaching the good news. We've got good news to share. We need to get on with it. And that's what we're here for as a church, to love Jesus Christ and to make him known. That's what it's about. Got very good news to share. Let's get it out while we can. Let's celebrate the good news, shall we, in song, as we prepare to celebrate it in the Lord's Supper as well.